to ask yourself this question before you try a new creative project, or if you're a brand trying to branch out and do a little bit more things visually, ask yourself what's stopping you and try to figure out if you have the bandwidth to do it first. You know, we tend to bite off more than we can chew, and that's kind of where we fall short. So kind of stop yourself and just reassess what you have in store, and then figure out how you can tackle a plan from there would be your best bet.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you are and wherever you're watching from. My name is Matt Pierce, host of Visual Lounge. Today, you know, we think a lot about what's going on, and we want to project the way that we want to project ourselves to our audience, to our clients, to our business, whatever it might be. And there's ways to do that. I'm probably not the best example of this. You look at me and you say, like, what are you projecting, Matt? Well, you know what? I don't have to be the best at this, but I can learn to be better, because that's what our guest today is going to help me to do. So let's introduce Liana Pham. And she is a creative and executive producer of the Social Pros podcast. She does content and creative operations, strategy, and consulting. She's formerly the head of social and creative at Convince & Convert. She's an award-winning podcast producer. She's got the LinkedIn top social media marketing voice, and she's just worked for a ton of amazing brands. And she's here to help us out to figure out what we can do better with presenting ourselves to the world. So with that said, please help me welcome Liana Pham to the Visual Lounge.
Oh my gosh. Thanks, Matt, for having me on the show. I'm so excited to speak about all things creative, brand, and honestly, whatever you have to throw at me.
Well, that's a risky proposition, but I love it. So let's start, like, that first question we like to do. What's a tip you'd give for people for using images better in the workplace? Because obviously, if you're working on social media, you're working with brands, you're doing that, imagery matters, and we'll talk more about that. But just anything that way you like to use images?
Yeah, so I mean, I do a lot with podcasting, right? But something that people often don't really consider when it comes to, like, podcasting is there is a lot of visuals that need to get incorporated if you're only doing an audio podcast. And honestly, my biggest takeaway is to always have the visuals reflect who you are and what your brand is trying to say. And if you can't get across the message of your visuals within 7 seconds, you're going to lose a person's interest right away. And we can definitely get into that later on the show, but there's a 7-second rule that I think a lot of brands should start paying attention to. And it just correlates to the attention span of just the human nature and how it's evolving and decreasing over time. But yeah.
Well, I love that. And I do want to talk about that. Let's start a little bit broader though, because I imagine, especially if you're, you know, an individual, maybe you're working for a business, or maybe, you know, even you're thinking about yourself, your own brand, mm-hmm. right? What are the kind of high level key considerations that we should be looking at? Like, if I'm starting to think, like, start a company, I want to have a brand that is going to be present, going to be something that people are going to remember or think about. Where do I even start to focus? Because it feels like, I don't know, there's just so much. It's just overwhelming.
Yeah. So, I mean, to keep it simple, like, one of the first things that I invested in when I wanted to improve, like, my video quality was a ring light. And surprisingly, a lot of people still don't use them. And I feel like it's become more accessible on every single social media platform that we've been on. And they have just made it more travel friendly as well. I think when I was first, you know, starting out in social media, which was actually about 8 years ago, ring lights weren't a thing. It was like for major studio productions. And now we have like clip-on versions for laptops, your phone. And you see a lot of brands trying to do more employee generated content, a lot of UGC, and they are often using their phones for these videos. So definitely investing in little things like a ring light, just even using your headphones or your wired headphones, just improve the audio quality of your content really, really well. And I guess just taking the time to like find like the small things that you can use in your day-to-day basis that will help your visual and audio quality. And again, that comes with, if you want to use a ring light, if you want to stand in front of a window so that you have the natural light, maybe you want to be in a more quiet room. And something that people don't consider when it comes to audio is that if you're talking in an empty space, they're going to pick up a lot of echo in the background. So something that we always like tell our guests, for example, before a show is, hey, if you're going to be sitting in an empty room, can you like try moving to like a living room space that has a little bit more furniture so that it collects that sound and that echo? And then, you know, they usually say, oh my gosh, I didn't think about that. So definitely like the little things like that.
Yeah, for sure. And all great advice and stuff that I just can echo and say, like, absolutely. Get rid of the echoey space, get some light, use a window, whatever it takes. So it sounds like some of the things that, individuals, companies should do, like none of those are hard things, right? Like, are there other things? So I think about brand, and you're talking like, you know, user generated content, which I love because I know even as a company, TechSmith, you know, we've been doing more of that, getting our employees to make, you know, social media, TikTok, you know, Instagram Reels videos. But are there other things like, I guess when I'm starting to think about the strategy of what that brand should be, kind of, I look at like your background, for instance, and I think, oh, wow, you're very artistic. It looks really cool. You know, I got a background that's colors and a Star Wars helmet. So it's maybe says stuff about you. Should brands be considering about like these other pieces too? That's like, I guess, how do you decide like this? I want to go creative artistic versus, you know, colors or, you know, decorations or, you know, like a colleague of mine, he does a lot of, he loves the Muppets, right? Like, how do brands decide this and how do they get to a point where you feel good about what you've got?
I feel like something that brands tend to not consider is just reflecting about who they are as, you know, a company first. I noticed that a lot of brands just kind of jump in to doing kind of visual and just video content and then not actually thinking about how it resonates to their audience. Of course, like a podcast like The Visual Lounge, like you get to be more creative, you get to show more of that creative side, be more spontaneous, a little funkier with what you show visually. And I think the companies that tend to struggle a little bit more are the B2B brands because, you know, B2B has that tendency to kind of feel a little bit boring. So they kind of limit themselves on what they can try for the video content or just creative content in general. But I feel like, especially now in 2024, there's more freedom to kind of test out things that just show off your personal brand a little bit better and just like reflecting on what your brand image wants to look like for this upcoming, whatever this releases, this upcoming quarter. Just like trying to incorporate the brand in the background, whether it be, you know, a colored background you could use. There's so many tools out there that lets you have like that virtual background. You don't need to have like that setup. And I feel like investing full force in the beginning actually might be a little bit risky for some brands that don't have a full-on strategy and how they want to come across in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the more that they can test out the content with their audience first, then they can start to incorporate more strategic ways to incorporate their brand visually for their audience. Like, you're not going to start a new podcast and invest all this equipment, invest like a whole backdrop, like the whole setup that, you know, a lot of new upcoming podcasts are doing, and then they turn out to not be so successful. So you're investing all that equipment for nothing. And that goes the same with companies and brands who are trying to produce more video content as well. They want to put in so much budget for it and they want to try the new things, try the new trend. And they struggle because they don't know how to visually put themselves out there, and then it doesn't match well with their audience because it's not what they're used to seeing. So I think, you know, just starting out slow, like finding a platform that lets you kind of incorporate those visual backgrounds, like have someone on your creative team create a branded image for the backdrop so that you guys can use it cohesively as a team. And then kind of like branch away from that a little bit, showing more of like the office background. And then if you really want to like spice it up, like start incorporating even more of your brand in there, like bringing in more people, like having the whole culture, just thrown into one place. So I think it's just a step-by-step process. It's a difficult question.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of brands kind of just go, why don't we just go at it? Like, yes, you could and be really successful at it. But at the same time, like, just going at something doesn't promise longevity, especially in visuals. And in the era of, like, you know, short-form video and long-form video taking over on TikTok now, there's so much competition in what people can consume visually. And it's a tiring thing to do. Like, people who are working in creatives and a lot of production, they can vouch that it's kind of tiring and to always look at visuals all the time. So there's a way to do it, but I feel like brands need to kind of like consider that we're in this era where people kind of call out a lot of things that they don't like.
Yeah.
So just starting out small would be always the best option. But I hope I answered the question.
It is hard. And I think that's, I mean, like, look, I know in a perfect world we'd have answers, and I know there's not always clear cut answers, but it does lead to maybe a follow-up question, because I can imagine, like, let's take these brands, especially B2B. I think you're absolutely right, right? B2B brands, it's hard to have an identity. Because like your big corporate thing, or, you know, you're trying to fit with lots of different audiences potentially even. So I'm curious for your perspective, when a brand big or small is maybe looking to start out, and I love that idea, start small, try some things. So like I've been pitching a lot of ideas, and I just say, you know, it's the old metaphor, spaghetti against the wall, see what sticks. And right. Which is a terrible metaphor. I don't know why anyone would throw spaghetti against the wall, but I think about, like, should these brands, or even as an individual, if I'm going to think about the platform, let's talk platforms for a second, right? Because I could obviously go, you know, TikTok is very popular, YouTube is very popular, Instagram is very popular, Facebook, as much as people say is maybe not popular, it's still a lot of people are on Facebook, right? Like 3 billion or something. And I'm curious, should you kind of pick a, like, your what you think will resonate and represent who you are and go? Or should you be adjusting based on the audience that you're trying to attract on those platforms? So, I'm going to be very, like, I don't know, I don't know my demographics very well, but I imagine to go on TikTok, the audience tends to be younger. They're probably looking for different things than maybe on Facebook. Again, kind of stereotyping here about the platforms, a little bit older, a little bit more established. Again, probably looking for some different things. Is that a way that businesses should approach it? Or I guess what advice could you give us about approaching the different platforms?
Oh my God, I love this question, because I think one of the biggest things that we're seeing every single brand try to do is jump on every single platform. And that's like just the kiss of death at this point. There are brands who try to jump on the latest TikTok trend, and then they try to bring it to Facebook, and they try to bring it to Instagram, and then they wonder why it's not working. Mm-hmm. It's because it's originating from TikTok for a reason. And also, if your audience is primarily on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, X now, and you want to jump into a TikTok strategy, you want to do like a Pinterest strategy, like, your audience is not going to, they don't live there. Does it mean that it doesn't exist? No, that's not what it means. It means that if you already have like that strong base and that strong support on these 2 to 3 platforms, I always suggest start there first, so that you can build that credibility there first. And then if you decide that, hey, this is going really well, we want to try our, you know, this content out on another platform, then you give that a test. But I think like brands trying to like jump into all of them all at once, that's where it fails really easily, because, you know, not every platform is built the same. Whatever goes on Instagram is very different from what goes on LinkedIn, and whatever goes on YouTube Shorts is very different from what goes on TikTok. Even though all of those platforms do support short form content, it's not consumed the same way. So whenever brands try to like, I'm giving an example here. If they want to post like a video recapping about the newest thing that their company is doing for their employees, it might not resonate very well on TikTok if it's not created in a fun and heartwarming way. Mm-hmm. Something that is, you know, kind of trendy on TikTok right now is this hopecore content, where people just want to see great, amazing, and positive things that are happening in the world. Yeah, in social media right now, it's so much easier to think about the negatives because that's what media pushes out the most. So that hope core content is being like, it's trending for that reason. People want to see like the positive things. People want to see like how, you know, brands are doing the good. But the way that you kind of post and show that good is not the same on every single platform. But yeah, whenever you want to try something new, always start with where your audience lives first. And it's always, I feel like, a disaster when people try to reach a new audience when their audience is already existing somewhere else. And like for the Social Pros podcast, we knew that our audience was more mature, right? And then we knew that we were trying to reach these business professionals. We wanted to reach these higher level marketers. And where do those people tend to live? They live on LinkedIn. And then, you know, there's a reason why we grew 600 followers on that platform pretty quickly. It's because we stuck to where our audience lives, where our guests live. And we got a much better word of mouth that way. And I just knew that if we jumped into like TikTok or YouTube at the time, it wouldn't work very well because, one, we assessed what we had collectively in content, and it's not like we had video content. Like, we only record audio, so that wouldn't perform super well on YouTube because it's a video platform. And there are brands out there who would just say, that doesn't matter, let's just try it all. And then that's where you fail. And then you wonder why it's not performing well, because not every platform is the same.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. I love that and appreciate that answer. Go where your audience is, right? And I think this is for people that listen to my show, it's a key consideration. We often talk about creating the content, but you know, you can create the content, but it doesn't mean that people want that content. And so you have to be thoughtful. Yeah. So I appreciate that.
I'm just calling out the human nature. And we're so picky as individuals, right? And even if we want to, if we get the content that we like, if something about it doesn't resonate with us the right way, we're still going to find something to say negatively about it, no matter what. And I think whoever's listening to this podcast right now, like if you are running a brand and you're in charge of like the creative development of whatever you want to produce on social media, if you get negative comments, that's not going to be something that you can avoid. It's always going to be out there because people want to see what resonates to them. Yes, but at the same time, you can't please everyone. And just, you know, keep going at it. Like there's no right formula to doing it. As long as your audience likes what you do, it doesn't really matter what like those haters kind of like say about your product or your brand, because at the same time, they're still giving you that, you know, that exposure, that clout, no matter if it's negative or positive.
Yeah, it's interesting as you start to, especially for social media, obviously, there, you know, it's the old saying of, you know, no PR is bad PR. I mean, there is bad PR, but like in social media, like that engagement, even if it is negative, isn't what you want, but it still is engagement, and that can help someone else maybe find it. But yeah, you're right that not everything you make will be for everybody. I do want to come back to an idea that you talked about at the beginning of this idea of the 7 seconds. So help me understand. Okay, we've got 7 seconds. If I put something out there, what should I know about that first 7 seconds? What am I trying to capture with people scrolling or whatever, clicking play? What is it?
Yep. So the 7 second rule is kind of like you have 7 seconds to capture someone's attention. Honestly, maybe even less now in 2024. But the general rule is that they should know what the visual is trying to say, who can be a person or like a thing that you're trying to promote, and what are they going to get out of it, right? And that way, that's how you get people to keep watching or get people to find more information about that thing. And a good example of that is what we do with the podcast. We always highlight the person, the special moment that they talked about, and what the episode is about. Like everyone that is viewing that specific like creative, they can see exactly the three main W's right there in 7 seconds. And what that does is it eliminates the wonder that the audience kind of thinks about. I feel like now people confuse and mix up wonder with wasting my time. and people don't want their times wasted, which is why I heavily enforce like that 7-second rule. And that's not only with like creatives, that's also with like the way you communicate with people. If it's not visuals, like even through text, like following that 7-second rule. And that's kind of why you see platforms like LinkedIn, like people trying to like show how to create like these amazing hooks on your post. And that's for a reason, because you know, attention spans are getting shorter. You want to try to capture the three main points, and then people want to know like what are they going to get out of it. That's the most important one. So highlighting that specific element of what you're trying to do within those 7 seconds and keeping them retained to your content is really important.
So I'm going to ask a question, and we've not pre-discussed any of this stuff. So you know, if you're like, I don't know, that's a great answer, but I'm assuming as someone who's in social media, you can't ignore the phenomenon that is Mr. Beast, right?
Oh my God, no, you can't.
Like he's a juggernaut and he's doing things that are just amazing. And I'm curious in this idea of the 7 seconds, he's obviously talked publicly about like their thumbnail generation. And I think for video in particular, thumbnails are, you know, that is the signpost of like what brings people in. Of course, title, description, things like that are important, but so I'm curious. One of the things I've kind of heard creators, YouTube creators in particular, talking about is like they make their thumbnails first, so that it's about if they can't make a good thumbnail, they're not going to make the video because they can't draw anybody in, that kind of that pull in. But when you're talking about this idea of wonder, the other thing I've heard them talk about is the idea that like you don't give everything away at the beginning. So you gotta give people a reason to kind of breadcrumb your way, if we can use that metaphor, across to the end. And I'm curious, particularly with non-video, what are your thoughts on how you do that in a way that makes sense? So whether it's a podcast, or maybe you're posting some imagery, maybe it's a LinkedIn post. What else? Help Obi-Wan.
I mean, I instantly thought about what is the question you want people to ask themselves. And that usually gets people to continue reading on or like discovering more about that content. I feel like if it is not a long form video, and if you're just trying to get people like through the first few lines, you want to either ask them a question or say something that makes them ask a question to themselves. So whether it's like, have you struggled with this? Like, you know, so that they can reflect on that content towards their own personal like experiences, or it could be something like, I really hate this that happened. Like, it's the triggering kind of like start. And I guess people to kind of wonder, oh, what do they hate? Like, what is that thing that they're trying to say? And I want to reiterate what you have mentioned about Mr. Beast. I love that he had posted about how they test their YouTube thumbnails. And I think it was about 3 months ago when he posted, oh, this thumbnail performed better than this one. And the main difference was that you were able to see his face a little bit more in the second one. And I think that just made so much more sense with what his brand was trying to do, because it's Mr. Beast. He's the face of the brand. Mm-hmm. And of course, the one that showed more of his face and like how happy he was the one that did, you know, better, because people want to know, like, what did he do that was so special in this episode? But yeah, I think answering a question or having like triggering a question for the viewer is how you keep them going, if it's not a super visual thing that you're trying to like post or create.
Yeah. I love that. I'm going to be thinking about that for this episode too. What's the question we're going to pull people in with? So we're moving through time. We're getting close to our speed round question, which, to be fair, I actually want to ask you like all 12 questions because I know you prepared. We won't.
Yes.
But before we wrap up, I guess, you know, we've talked about several things, you know, in terms of getting this kind of this idea of getting imagery to resonate, getting it to, you know, working with brands. What have we missed that like you're like, Matt, you missed the obvious. Here's what we should have talked about the whole time.
I mean, just talking about personal branding in general, just making sure whether you're an individual or if you're a brand, just try the thing. Whenever I know I'm saying thing a lot, it's because we always have like this thought in our minds, like maybe I should have done it this way. Maybe I should have tried this instead. I mean, you're only asking yourself these questions because you haven't done it. And I think a lot of brands or just people who are branching out into being more public with their personal brand, like they second guess themselves too much. And I feel like that's a natural thing that a lot of people just do. And for me, for example, I've been more active on my personal brand for only 3 months, and that's on LinkedIn. But I knew as a person, like as a collective individual, that my friends and my family always told me, like, oh, we love how real you are. And for me, I'm like, I mean, the word real in social media doesn't really mean the same thing. And I always like wondered, what is it about me that makes people think that way? And then it's just like, maybe it's just me not realizing that I'm just always myself, that that's what I should project. So if you're a brand, if you're a person or an individual that wants to just try out more authentic and real content, I feel like putting yourself first, like, would you like what you see on yourself? Like, if you saw your own material on your feed, would you like it? Would you stop at it? And as long as it resonates to you and not just trying to like please the overall people, I think that's where you get the best content.
Yeah. What great advice. Yeah. So if I'm a podcast listener and I'm looking for content that fits the Visual Lounge, would I stop and watch the show? So
yeah,
boy, that's a lot of pressure to put on somebody.
It's a lot of pressure, but I feel like pressure breaks, burst pipes, and you know, sometimes you just got to let go, and that's where the best things happen.
Yeah. Well, you know, Leanna, this has been fantastic, and I appreciate the advice and I appreciate the thought that you've put into this. So with that said, though, we're going to move on to our speed round question. For those who have not heard the speed round, this is our quick answers to quick questions determined by the roll of a die. Although I'm going to say our dice tower is down for today, but we're still going to play the stinger and go into speed round. So here we go.
I'm ready.
Just because the dice tower is down doesn't mean we can't roll some dice. So here we go. It's a 7. You're just going to have to trust me on this one. So, what's a hobby or interest you've always wanted to pursue, but you haven't had the opportunity yet?
I was hoping you were going to ask me this one, because it's not actually a new hobby that I want to learn. It's actually an old one that I want to revisit.
Mm.
So, I was formerly a tattoo apprentice years ago. I think I was 16, 17 years old when I was the first being an apprentice at a tattoo shop, and I have like this artistic and creative background, and I just remember how free I felt doing tattooing, like even if it was just like practice skin, and I really want to revisit it. But there's just so much, if people don't know, there's just so much money behind it, like investing in the equipment, and there's a lot of time towards like doing it, like retracing my steps into getting familiar with the tools again. But yeah, it was such a fun time when I did that, and I really want to go back to it, but hopefully this year brings me more free time to revisit tattooing.
I just out of curiosity, what's a tattoo you would like to give? A lot of personal thing decisions and what tattoos to get, but is there something you would love to give as a tattoo?
Oh my gosh. So I've actually done tattoos on people when I was an apprentice, and the number one thing I always did on, my clients was like deconstructed animals, and it sounds really gross, but it's not what you think. It's just like a geometric form of the animal, but you can't tell from the first glance at it because it's like deconformed lines that connect the visuals of the animal. And people just thought that it was like the coolest idea ever, because I'm like, as long as it means something to you and you know what it is, that's the point. So you know, making the non-obvious for the individual. And I have a few of those myself, so.
That's awesome. I love it. Okay, next question. Here we go. Second roll of the die. It is a 2. So this is, if you could travel anywhere in the world right now, where would you go and why?
Oh my gosh. So I would love to go back to Vietnam. That's where my family is from. And the reason why I'm choosing Vietnam is because I think I didn't appreciate it enough when I was younger. I just didn't understand the lifestyle. I didn't really appreciate what I had here. And it wasn't until it's been almost 10 years since I've been there, so it's been a while. But comparing to my 15-year-old self being there versus my 5-year-old self, like there was a huge difference in what I like was able to see and witness. And I just want to go back and give my, like, do my diligence to my family there and just appreciate, you know, the beauty of the country. Now that I'm older and I'm a little bit more smart with the way I consume my surroundings. But yeah, that's definitely my answer.
I love that. Great answer. All right, last one. Here we go. It is a 12. So what's your one go-to tool that helps you get your job done on a regular basis? This could be software, it could be physical gear, it could be whatever you want it to be. So what is that tool?
Whoever is listening right now, I highly suggest the Logie mouse. It's a Bluetooth mouse that connects to three different devices. So you only have to carry one mouse that connects to whatever you want to use. And it's so convenient because, like, honestly, with the click of a button, you can toggle between, like, three different monitors. And it's just so convenient. Like, I don't have to, like, switch mouses when I want to work on my desktop versus my laptop. And I couldn't believe, like, a $40 investment would change my life so much. But, like, and one battery lasts, I think, 2 years.
Wow.
So you only have to change it once, honestly.
That is awesome, considering I have a mouse and keyboard that stays, because I'm mostly remote, but we do go into the office once a week. And my mouse, the keyboard still works, but the mouse died. And it's, like, you know, frustrating that it is. So just even to have a mouse and what that could connect to multiple things, that would be amazing.
Yeah, and it's a silent click, so
even better for podcasts and recordings and things like that. That's awesome.
Exactly.
Well, Leanna, thank you so much for joining me today. So I'm guessing that people are going to be interested in following the things that you do, going and seeing what resonates that you do with them. Where could they connect with you?
Yeah, you can find me most active on LinkedIn. I post a lot of funny, a lot of unfiltered things. I try to be the realest me wherever I am. So if you want to see more real things, a lot of funny things, then you can find me there.
I love it. LinkedIn is kind of a hidden gem in my mind. You know, like, there's so many good things there. There's a lot of garbage you got to filter.
I mean, the more you interact on that platform, you get a lot of great content. And I think the LinkedIn algorithm is so untouched, like no one talks about it, but it's amazing. And there's a reason why a lot of people are starting to gravitate towards that platform.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Leanna, we always like to ask people at the end of our show for their kind of last thoughts. So, Leanna, what is your final take from the Visual Lounge?
My final take is to ask yourself this question before you try a new creative project, or if you're a brand trying to branch out and do a little bit more things visually, ask yourself what's stopping you and try to figure out if you have the bandwidth to do it first. You know, we tend to bite off more than we can chew, and that's kind of where we fall short. So kind of stop yourself and just reassess what you have in store, and then figure out how you can tackle a plan from there would be your best bet.
I love it. Love it. Thank you, Leanna. Appreciate you being here with me today.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, everybody. Guys, go work on your brand. Go work on that 7 seconds you've got to grab people, whether you're making videos, images, you're doing it on TikTok, you're doing it on YouTube, wherever. Maybe you're doing it for inside your organization. These rules still apply. These are opportunities for people to connect with what you're making. And I love what Leanna said there at the end. Be the realest you that you could be, because people connect with real. They don't want flim-flammy fake stuff. So with that said, the other thing here is, I think, just try stuff. And I love that advice from her. So, you know, one of the things we're all about here on the show is trying things, getting better, leveling up a little bit every single day. We'd encourage you to do that. Of course, if you want to follow and get more advice, make sure you like, subscribe, do all that good stuff, because, frankly, it's going to help make sure it's in your feed so you continue to see it. So with that said, take some time, level up every single day. Thanks, everybody.